You couldn't afford it. We went in there one time. Like.
Okay. City's on. We're on.
Okay. I'll call the meeting to order and ask Celeste to call the roll, please.
D'Antino?
Here.
Erickson?
Here.
Evans? Leidig? Moffitt?
Present.
Stevenson?
Here.
Stocking?
Here.
Rogers?
Here. All right. We need to congratulate Ralph D'Antino for his victory. You're going to sit in this chair on a different night now. And,
thank you.
Congratulations. Thanks for all your good service to the Plan Commission.
All right.
We have minutes of meeting number 1089 from March 12th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And we have two public hearings this evening. I will go ahead and read the procedures and that will hopefully count for both. We now enter the public hearing portion of our meeting. It is the Plan Commission's job to conduct these public hearings in order to receive testimony for and against petitions for general amendments to the zoning ordinance, zoning map amendments, zoning text amendments, special use permits, and amendments to special use permits. Procedure we will follow is thus. First, the Plan Commission Secretary or designated representative will read or describe written items, reports, and plans into the record. Second, the petitioner will present testimony in favor of the petition and present any supporting plans or exhibits. Third, the commission members will have an opportunity to question the petitioner. Fourth, the commission will then receive citizen testimony, both for and against the petition. Questions about the proposal may be directed to the petitioner or the petitioner's witnesses, and questions about the Plan Commission process itself may be directed to me. Following such testimony, the petitioner and the Plan Commission may ask questions of those who testified. Finally, the petitioner may provide a rebuttal to any testimony in opposition. When all the testimony is brought into the record, the hearing will be closed and the Plan Commission will make a recommendation to the City Council in the form of a motion or motions. In order to give testimony, you must provide your name and address on the registration sheet located inside the door at the entrance of the hearing room and sign your name in the space provided. By signing the registration sheet, you agree and understand that anything you say will be considered sworn testimony and affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When giving testimony, please approach the lectern in front of me. Speak directly into the microphone so you may be heard. Please begin by stating your name and giving your address. If you speak additional times, please state your name each time. Please be concise when presenting your testimony, and if your point has already been made, it's not necessary to repeat it. Each of the points is recorded and will be considered as the Plan Commission develops findings of fact and a recommendation or recommendations. Excuse me. You may provide your testimony in written form, but such written testimony must be presented to the Plan Commission Secretary or the designated representative prior to the closing of this hearing. After the process is completed and everyone wishing to present testimony is spoken, the Commission will then decide whether it has heard adequate testimony in order to make a decision. If it has, the public hearing will be closed. After a public hearing is closed, the Plan Commission will refrain from receiving any additional testimony, either for or against the petition. There is one exception to this rule. City staff will submit a report based on the testimony presented at the hearing. This report will consider comments or concerns from all city departments, such as the Fire Department, Public Works, or Engineering. At this time, I will administer the oath to those who have signed the registration form. Anyone wishing to give sworn testimony, ask questions, or cross-examine anyone giving sworn testimony, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. First public hearing is petition from Jay Schoenfeld, 114 Wall Street, a zoning map amendment. Request for a zoning map amendment to change the zoning of the property located at 114 Wall Street from the B2 Business District to the R3 Medium to High Density Single Family Residential District. David, do you have anything to enter into the record for that?
We do. The contents of the Plan Commission file are the application for the map amendment, a narrative description of the request, a plat survey identifying the property for which the request is requested, notes and review comments from members of the development staff regarding the proposed amendment, a memorandum from the Community Development Department to the Plan Commission summarizing the applicant's request and staff's recommendation, and then a certificate of publication from the Daily Herald for the legal notice that was published for the property on March 25th.
Okay, thank you. And we're ready to hear from the petitioner.
Hi, I'm Jay Schoenfeld. I live at 114 Wall Street. It's just basically right across the river there. I moved to Illinois from Michigan in 2006. My job brought me. I worked for Sears Holdings, so when the Kmart Sears merger occurred, we had to pick up roots and move to Illinois. I looked all over the immediate area here, and north of here, and in Geneva and St. Charles. And I have to tell you, after looking up in Huntley and Crystal Lake, my real estate agent brought me down to St. Charles and then through Geneva. I thought St. Charles was pretty cool, but when I hit Geneva, I thought, man, this is pretty awesome. I love the architecture around here. It fits right with my personality and the location of my house. It's really pretty amazing, to be quite honest with you. I know it's kind of funny how we came across it. We're at the tail end of a long night of looking at houses. Just happened to come down Wall Street, happened to see the real estate sign in the window, and asked my real estate agent, can we go in there? So she called, we walked through the house. To be honest with you, you've probably seen it. It's a little yellow house that sits behind Candy Sales, right? It's really not much to look at. I saw it kind of as a diamond in the rough, and I looked at the community and I thought, this is really kind of the place I want to be. I love the river. I spent a lot of time up and down the river on my bike and running. And so then I bought the house. And when I bought the house, I bought it with the intention of putting a second floor on so I could add 3 bedrooms upstairs because my kids live in Michigan still. So when they commute out here, they drive 5 hours to come visit me. And well, right now we sleep in the basement basically, and there's 1 bedroom upstairs, and I have it done. So I'm looking to expand the house, just build up, put on a second floor, put in 3 bedrooms and a bath, now expand the footprint, and really develop the house to look more like what you would see going down 3rd Street or in the immediate area. Behind me, I have the retirement community. To the right of me, I've got residential property. Across the street, I have the Montessori. And then I have the condominiums or the multifamily dwelling there. Then I obviously sit right behind Candy. So I'm requesting to have my house rezoned from B2 to R3, which unfortunately, I didn't know it was B2 when I bought it. My real estate agent knew what I was wanting to do, and to be quite honest with you, when I met with Dick and David about my house, they said, we have some good news and we have some not so good news. I said, okay. And then they informed me. So here I am today just requesting to have my house rezoned.
Thank you. Questions? Any questions? Jay.
Just to provide you a little bit of insight, in the 95 rezoning, we saw your parcel and the K&D parcel as being too small to redevelop, yet the corner parcel was there, and drawing the line where we did with the lots to immediate east being very deep, we figured we would get appropriate mass and scale for a B2 zoning project up there. So give you a little insight as to why it ended up that way in 95. That's some history on that. You are absolutely right. That is a diamond in the rough. The view from that second floor is going to be phenomenal. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for having the insight to do that, and wish you the best of luck with it.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
I kind of thought the same thing as far as why it probably was zone B2 originally, but I think the problem, because I've listed some property over there before, is just because of the grade coming down the river, it almost makes it impossible to conjoin the two lots. So I think this probably is the best thing. It's the best thing for the property owners, so I see no issue with it.
Okay. Anyone else? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? Yes, ma'am. Would you come forward and state your name and address for the record, please?
Okay, Mary Andrews.
Could you come to the podium, please?
Sure. My name is Mary Andrews, 505 Main Street in Batavia. I got in on the last part of this. I went to other doors before I found this one. My client and also my nephew has the property at 34 North Bennett. And I just wanted to make sure that that will in no way changing this man's zoning will in no way change his zoning. He has a place where the kayak is in, so that's why I'm here.
This would have absolutely nothing to do with that property.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyone else? If not, we'll let Ralph make all the motions tonight. Get his name on the record.
Right. I'd like to make a motion then to approve the...
Close
the public hearing. All right.
Public hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
I'd like to make a motion. Do I have to read this right here, Celeste?
Well, we need to...
Waive the
bifurcation.
Okay, all right. I'd like to make a motion to waive the standard two-week bifurcated process and vote on the issue tonight if we can.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Now.
Now I read this thing. I'd like to make a motion the property of Jay Schoenfeld at 114 Wall Street. Request for a zoning map amendment to change the zoning of the property located at 114 Wall Street from the B2 Business District to the R3 Medium to High Density Single Family Residential District.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Celeste, will you call the roll, please?
Sure.
D'Antino.
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Moffitt?
Aye.
Stevenson?
Aye.
Stocking?
Aye.
Rogers?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And the recommendation of the council is to grant the zoning request, and I think you may hold a record for the fastest public hearing in the history of the Geneva Plan Commission.
Thanks, guys. Okay, that'll move forward to Committee of the Whole on April 27th, then.
Great.
For their consideration.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Second public hearing is a petition from Christopher Lannert, 317 South 3rd Street, for special use request for use in the B3 Business District to allow a restaurant to operate in the lower level of the building located at 317 South 3rd Street. David, what do you have for that?
We have the application for a special use permit filed by Chris Lannert on behalf of Fiora Enterprises, a narrative description of the special use request submitted by Christopher Lannert, special use findings of fact submitted by Mr. Lannert, parking exhibit prepared by the Lannert Group, along with a tree preservation and landscape plan, building elevations and floor plan prepared by architect Tim Nelson, notes and review comments from the city's development staff, a memo from the Community Development Department to the Plan Commission, along with staff's recommendation, and then a certificate of publication from the Daily Herald for the legal notice published on March 25th.
Thank you. Mr. Lannert?
Good evening. My name is Michael Anastasio, and I would like to thank the City of Geneva and the Commission for the privilege to submit this application. My wife, Ann, and I own the property at 317 South 3rd Street, and we first moved here, her human resources business, to Geneva nearly 6 years ago, starting on State Street, and then moving to Franklin Street almost 4 years ago. We love Geneva and its friendly and historic character, and have been longtime patrons of many of the fine institutions here, such as the Little Traveler, Graham's Chocolate, maybe Graham's Chocolate a little too much sometimes, the Paper Merchant, Margaret Matson Jewelry, Movable Feast, just to name a few. Last year, we purchased the 317 building after learning that there were plans to tear the building down. We always loved the building and did not want it to be destroyed. Not only that, but it has a sentimental value to us, as my wife's late father had an office in that building almost 30 years ago, and she has fond memories of it. After the first floor tenant decided last year not to renew a lease due to the slumping economy, we had many people reach out to us and tell us that that location would be perfect for a restaurant. We agreed. And as a side note, I'll note that we purchased the 317 building with the intention to keep it and preserve its character. We are the owner-occupiers who use the second floor for our business offices, and we have already invested substantially to refurbish and preserve the building. We've retained the services of the Landert Group and Tim Nelson Architect, and also who are both from Geneva, and we've also retained the services of some highly experienced restaurant consultants and have investigated and planned this project for several months now. We have pending offers out to a former chef and a former wine manager, both of whom worked at 302 West for several years until it closed. We also have a former pending offer to a former assistant chef from Isabella's, who also worked at Chez Francois. And we also have pending offers out to area contractors to do the necessary work to refurbish the building in accordance with the city requirements. Our goal, simply put, is to replicate the success of some of those fine institutions that I mentioned, while not only preserving and enhancing the historic and wonderful character of 3rd Street and the 317 building, but also of complementing the neighboring businesses and contributing to economic growth. Mr. Landert, Mr. Nelson, and I are respectfully and humbly here to present our plan to you and answer any questions and address any concerns you may have. And again, thank you very much. And now Mr. Landert will go through the slide presentation.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'll walk you through the submittal information that David spoke of. We have been working with Mike and Tim on this for a number of months. We think we've given you a complete package. I obviously have my office building located at 215 Fulton, so I am the neighbor immediately south. If you remember my petition some 5 or 6, well, it's almost 7 years ago now, it was really a collaboration when I bought the building from Ken Shodine. We joined this building, the church, and and my property together. We resolved some of those parking issues and access issues, and so we've kind of been knitted together since that time, and it's really worked out pretty well. If you're not familiar with the site, it's shown on the aerial photograph. Fulton Street is to the south. 3rd Street is to the left. The church property is to north. My building is to the east, and then 2nd Street. It's ideally located within the downtown Geneva area. We did, in order to petition for the special use, have to conform with the various regulations which had not been adapted at that time. One of the things that you require is a tree preservation plan. As you can see on this plan that we produced, and as Mike kind of eloquently just spoke a few moments ago, what you see is what you get. The benefit of the property, the existing trees, the protection of the building as well as the landscape was one of their goals when they purchased this building. So what this plan shows is that we are not going to be removing any of the plant material. In fact, the next slide shows that what we have to do in order to comply with the requirements is we've had to improve the parking lot, we've had to move some things back, we've had to add some additional buffering material. As shown on the slide, the labeled plant material, which is basically along the bottom of this slide, which would be Fulton Street, we cut the parking back to meet the 8-foot setback which was required, and then the buffering which was there, and then we added the additional plant material in front of those parking stalls in order to shield them from 3rd Street, which is again one of the requirements. We've added a handicapped parking space, and that is the parking space which is just south of the existing tree island. We did that in conformance with the staff requirements, and then the only other thing that we had to do was plant a few more flowers around the sign along the front adjacent to 3rd, and then also a little buffering along the back end and side of the building, buffering the church and my existing parking lot. Other than that, nothing has been changed. If you are familiar with the building or you walked around about a year ago, the previous owner did a very ample job of additional landscaping and added some of the walkways as part of one of his renovations. So with that, it kind of goes through the various things that we've added to the site plan. I'd like to have Tim Nelson explain to you you the very few modifications in terms of the architecture, and then I'll finish up with the tough questions in terms of the parking that we've surveyed.
Thanks, Chris. My name's Tim Nelson. I'm the architect for the project. Essentially, it's a 2,900-square-foot restaurant. It's being placed in the first floor of the building that was previously used for... previously used for offices and retail. The restaurant itself will consist of several dining rooms, a bar area, a kitchen, some storage space, a janitor closet, and a couple restrooms. One of the restrooms is existing and will be converted to a women's restroom. The other is a new restroom which will be used for the men's. The only exterior modifications are going to be in the front entrance and the rear entry. The structure was originally built in 1855, and the front entrance is a definite addition in recent years. I don't know what year exactly, but it doesn't go with the rest of the style of the building. We're proposing to remove that and place a larger front entry, mainly to get a handicap accessible ramp in there. There's a 5-inch step that exists now, and to navigate that step, we need to place this ramp in there. I think this front entrance also improves the aesthetic quality of the front facade, as it will match the style of the rest of the building. The rear entry addition is a small 96-square-foot addition that will just be simply to accommodate a walk-in refrigerator and an ice machine in behind the bar area. The reason why we've done the kitchen the way it is in that area of the building is because that is not part of the original structure. It's an addition, as you can see. It's a flat roof on that side of the building up there, and it's got different type of windows and different type of siding. So we wanted to maintain the integrity of the original character of the building. So we put the kitchen there because there's going to be a lot of electrical and mechanical and plumbing that's going to have to go into the kitchen, and we didn't want to disrupt that original character. We're going to instead put the dining areas on that side, and I think that'll be quite nice with the character that has. This also allows us to put the mechanical equipment in the rear of the building and hide it as best we can. I should also mention that these drawings have been reviewed and approved by the Historic Preservation Commission, and I think that pretty much wraps up the architectural changes that we're proposing. And I think Chris is going to say a few more things about the parking.
One more group of elevations. This shows the rear elevation on the upper right-hand side of the right elevation, and then the extension for the handicap ramp on the left-hand side of that same right elevation. This is the first plan that we submitted in terms of surveying the area. You know, it is our neighborhood, so we're familiar with it. What we looked at is what was available in terms of on-street parking, whether it be public or private. This map starts to survey how that was shown. Neither of the legends are really that legible. What this one shows is the parking, which is public, and then it shows angled parking. Perpendicular parking and parallel parking. And we looked at this, and I think the important thing to point out is really the strides that Geneva has made with the parking structure at the very bottom of this aerial photograph, and then with the freeing up of the commuter space as a result of the first-come, first-served parking within the parking structure has really freed up the parking within the whole area. I've noticed that around around our building over the years, because we always had people and people ticketed in the lot in front of our building prior to the parking structure being developed, and now there's not only is there no tickets being written, there's not very many cars there. What this shows is that within one block of the proposed special use for the restaurant, which is again a permitted use, as David pointed out in his staff report, within this district, we will have plenty of parking. And we've all certainly been in Chicago and other places where we've walked more than a block in order to get to a restaurant. So our first overview was to look at what was happening in the entire area. And then the next thing that we did is we surveyed our immediate area, which is what this exhibit shows. And this one was actually included in your packet. I was not very descriptive when we presented this, because we presented this exhibit, which was only a summary of the parking that we counted on 3-11-09. We provided a CD with over 100 photographs, which evaluated the parking for approximately a month. We surveyed the parking from February 18th through the 27th, with the exception of Sunday, the 22nd. And then we surveyed the parking, as shown on this plan, between March 2nd through March 16th. And then again, when I was talking with David last week, I was doing some cleanup around my building a week ago Saturday, and so I did a little study on Saturday, the 28th. So we have provided information through this pictorial format for almost a month of parking. And the reason that we chose this particular day is this day was probably pretty typical, but showing almost the maximum condition which was surrounding the site at that particular time. In terms of the color-coded areas, the seven parking spaces which are shown in yellow, that obviously is the seven cars which are on the lot of the petition. The green lot, which shows 15, that's my private parking lot behind our building. The purple shown adjacent to that is the public parking, which is in front of the 215 building, and it's also the other side of the parking spaces, which are part of the church. The 11 spaces, which are shown in the lighter color, are the church parking stalls, and those are designated stalls for the church. Part of that construction of that parking lot a number of years ago ended up having to be half for the church and half public parking. And then the red stripe along 2nd Street is the shows the public parking along 2nd Street. And then the blue, which surrounds Fulton, 3rd, and Franklin, that's the public parking surrounding the site. Now, right next to that, we've actually counted the stalls within each one of those areas, and that's where the 168 total parking stalls within the area comes from. And then what this table shows you on just this one day, not the 30 days that we were counting, it shows you how many parking spaces were filled in the a.m., the midday, and the p.m. And if you read across the table, you can see that they really were not filled very often, and about the only ones which were consistently filled where the church uses their parking stalls during the day. In fact, they also use some of our parking lot for dropping off for their daycares and some ins and outs. And other than during the festivals, it really has not been a problem over the 7 years that that we've been there. When you look at the summary, I think that what this pretty graphically depicts is that there is plenty of available spaces within this area over this month's period of time when we were investigating it. And if, in fact, we only take 25% of those available spaces, that would approximately equal the number of parking spaces required, as pointed out in the staff report, for a restaurant of this use. Now, if you do your numbers really quickly, you'll find out the percentage of the total parking spaces would be not 25%, it would be 28%. But we obviously are saying that the seven parking spaces on the existing lot would be secured, would be available for them. And I think that many of the parking spaces along the public lot would be available, and certainly with my staff leaving at about 6 to 7 o'clock at night, there would also be parking spaces available in my lot. So we think that even though it's very controversial, and obviously it's difficult, we've had difficulties in terms of parking within the community, I think the steps that the community has made and is justified in terms of this study shows that there is ample parking available suitable for this intended special use, and it will not be impacting the area. I would also point out that on 2 weeks ago, or a week ago Saturday, well, 2 weeks ago this Saturday, when I was at my building between 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the a.m., there were 59 spaces that were used within this geographic area. At the midday, there were 74 parking spaces being used, and at four o'clock when I left, there were 56 spaces used. So on that one Saturday, you can still see that there's ample parking available within this zone. So we hope, hopefully we've addressed those issues, and I apologize for the miscommunication with the staff in terms of tying the pictures that we sent. I only did one exhibit. I didn't think that preparing 20 more exhibits like this one would have added anything more to the content than what I've been able to explain. So with that, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you or the citizens might have.
Thank you. Should I understand then, Chris, that if there were cars parked in your the lot that you own north of your building or along that area that's designated for the Lutheran Church, there will not be signs posted there indicating that it may be towed or no parking or anything like that?
No.
Those spaces will all be available?
They're available and not in use. Now, we don't have parking stalls prohibited, designated in our lot. The parking stalls along the wall of the church are designated for church parking during the day, but then they're available for anyone's use after that time.
And is it, are they posted?
They're posted. The red ones along the building are posted that way. Okay. The only thing that we do is we do chain our lots off during the festivals and things like that so that when my employees go out for lunch, they can come back and get a parking space.
I understand. Okay. Start with Scott. Any questions?
I really don't have any questions. I think your presentation summarized the parking situation pretty well. And also in addition to that being the parking garage, just two blocks over, which is basically vacant at night. So, walking two blocks to...
Well, the real benefit of the parking in the garage is that when we had passes, when you had assigned parking spaces, then it tended to not use all the parking spaces because if I was on vacation that week or I didn't work that week because I was sick, I still secured my parking space because you couldn't park in my space. Now that it's in first come, first serve, it's totally freed up parking spaces in that whole zone.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And based on, I used to take the train all the time and definitely freed up a lot at least. That's the only observation I have.
Okay, Rod?
Yeah, Chris, you don't even include in here the parking spaces at Paper Merchant or across the street. And there's that's some more spaces that aren't restricted. And I talked to Steve. He said they're open all the time at night.
That's correct.
So there's a lot more space than you're even considering here.
We didn't want to be presumptuous in terms of including his, right?
Yeah. Mr. Anastasio, are you going to run a restaurant? Are you a restaurateur? I'm just kind of interested as to...
Sure. I won't be involved in day-to-day operations. I'll be hiring a manager to do that, and I'm speaking to a few, but I'll be overseeing the operation generally. My family was in the restaurant business, but I am not myself. I'm a lawyer. As I mentioned, my wife and I will both occupy the offices upstairs. We do now already, and we'll continue to do that and oversee the management of the operations from that level.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Joel?
It looks like the green lot behind the Lannard building there, that's going to be kind of tough to get over to the subject property, isn't it? You're blocked by dumpsters and privacy fence. Am I missing something here?
There is a walkway just adjacent to the privacy fence. Probably a year, two summers ago now, when we put the porous pavement on our parking lot and got rid of the asphalt, we paved into that area because there was a drainage problem between those two buildings, and you really couldn't being walked across the parking lot to our building or to that building. So there is a decorative paved walkway right around the vicinity of that privacy fence and those dumpsters. It feeds into the back corner where that addition was going on, as pointed out in Tim's drawings. So there is a small back internal walkway there.
That's for people to know where to go, huh, if they don't want to walk too far.
Correct.
My only other comment is not so much about the application. I guess it's kind of under life is not fair, and I'm thinking that they included in their count the spaces on the south side of Fulton Street. And weren't those spaces included in the Dotson PUD as part of their count? So I'm just saying, we hold them to one standard, and then we come back here. I guess it's because of where the location of the restaurant is that they're the beneficiary of not having to deal with the Dotson PUD, but it just seems that's the way it is. Shodines might have a different thought about that. I don't have anything else.
Thank you.
Mim?
I'm very pleased to see someone is going to preserve the site. I remember when there was a previous proposal on the site, and none of us were too happy about the changes that were planned at that time.
I might add I'm also very concerned because that last proposal was going to put a 2-3-story building within 2 feet of my building.
Yes, so very pleased to see this plan for the site. What hours do you expect this restaurant will be open?
Can give you some things we discussed. I'd like to just say that I wouldn't want to say that it's preserved in stone, so to speak. So I would expect it to be open for lunches and dinners. I wouldn't expect it to be open extraordinarily late till maybe 11 o'clock or something, on probably early on some other nights. I don't know if we'll be open on Sundays or Mondays. Again, I think what we really want to do is adjust to the market and the community and see that it runs well. But if the time frames work within those slots, but lunches and dinners, and probably 11 to 11 somewhere, but again, that would be something I'd refine with my management team and the people that I'll hire on.
I don't have any problem with the parking situation. I think it's actually advantageous to the entire 3rd Street area if folks have to walk a reasonable distance and they therefore see what else is going on in the street, perhaps make some additional stops. So I think this looks pretty good.
Thank you.
Jay.
Chris, in the special uses, number 4, the proposed use has been designed to provide for adequate ingress and egress to minimize potential vehicle conflict and congestion in public streets. Your response to that is the proposed special use will not alter the existing ingress or egress access to the site. The driveway from Fulton will continue to function as the business access. Service access is provided through the private parking lot at 215 Fulton Street, and the restaurant access on 3rd Street will rely on the public parking in the area. My concern, because we had an issue in the past, is it is a private parking lot gaining access to the dumpsters and various other things. Is there a recorded cross-access easement that will supersede your potential demise a century from now?
So, thank you for those kind words. In view of the economy, I take that as a compliment. There's an agreement. It has not been recorded, and here's what the balancing act is the access to the dumpsters are through my parking lot.
Right.
All of the dumpsters are on their lot. Okay, so if I didn't give them access and they had to put their dumpster back where it was, and I'd have to put the dumpster back on my lot, and I'd lose about 3 parking spaces. And so it's an agreement between the property owner that was not recorded.
Again, my concern is the eventual change of property ownership at some point in time in the future. A handshake agreement is great. I think we had a similar situation at 5 South or 12 South 5th, where the the petitioner of a property being built on State said he had a cross-access agreement through the property at 12 South 5th, and then we found out when the owner of 12 South 5th came in 2.5 years later, no such agreement ever existed. Yet, you know, it was one of these things that we were told existed, and hence, trust but verify, Chris, is my concern on this one.
Well, I know a good attorney, and so if you want to make that a condition, if you want to make that a condition of his special use, I, as the owner of that property, will say I will do that.
I would leave that to staff's discretion. Now that I've raised the point, I think it would be an appropriate thing for staff to consider to make sure that, you know, 100 years from now, you know, when I'm throwing flowers in your grave.
I mean, you never know what my kids are going to turn out to be.
Okay, that being said, there's on page four of the staff's comments, there's a slight typo. Maybe it isn't. I should have looked at Tim's plans. Maybe he did have the latest revision date, March 3rd of 2009, as if we use this as a guide as to what we're approving. Maybe you're not dying for 1,000 years, my friend.
Yeah, that's even better.
I have to agree with Mim's comments on the parking being a constant person downtown Geneva. I never have a problem parking downtown Geneva, regardless if it's for breakfast, lunch, dinner, any time I go down. And today I was able to park right on Fulton Street. I surveyed everything, refreshed my mind with what we did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was longer than 7 or 8 years ago.
This last year seemed longer than that.
Yeah.
But it's only been that long.
But I think the use is a phenomenal use, and I think Mim's comments were spot on, that if they have to walk a block or two, so be it. It only opens up the opportunity to open their wallets further for other merchants. And quite frankly, parking's a good problem to have. You know, it can be addressed with something like valet parking, which we've seen the folks at Urban Grill recently do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad thing to have. I do, however, want to commend staff for raising the issue, because I think it is a very important issue. At some point in time, the door might have to be locked over. Nobody has to add a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
So the taxpayers don't have to suffer in the future. So I think that there's a lot of cooperation shown between staff and the petitioner, and a lot of creativity, and I wish this the best of luck.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, I just want to say I think it's a great use, and the parking doesn't seem to bother me at all, so good luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a question. The last time this property came before us, in the building you were talking about, there was an issue about whether a restaurant could be there because of the liquor ordinance that precludes a liquor license within 100 feet of a church. Is that ordinance still an issue, or has that been changed?
Yeah, it's been changed. Our city code was more restrictive than the state state law provisions regarding dram shop and spacing of businesses serving liquor in relation to the entrances to a church or school. I think there's some other uses in that category. I believe it was last year that the city council amended its ordinances, the city code, to specifically remove that more restrictive standard than the state dram shop law, which enables this applicant to pursue a liquor license. It's the pleasure of the liquor commissioner on whether that
right.
license is granted, but now that application for that liquor license is not precluded by our code requirements.
Is there still a distance? Is there a distance requirement in the state statute?
I'm not an expert in that area of the code. I just know that under our current code provisions, this condition complies. It actually served as a basis for the discussion that occurred on the part of the City Council when it did amend our local ordinance.
Has anybody had any conversations with the members of the church? Have they made comments about this plan or seen it?
Let me address that point, because I am very sensitive. My wife and I are very sensitive about that. So I can't add to what you said. You were spot on. So it is compliant with the law. There is going to be a restaurant part of the business. I did meet with the pastor on January the 8th, Pastor Opp, and my wife and I explained to him our plans. I also sent him a letter on January the 9th, and I have a copy here, inviting him or anybody else in the congregation, if they have a concern or if they anticipate or see any problems, to speak to me, and I will make sure I will appropriately address that. So I did approach the church. I have not received any comments or objections from any of the members, but I'm certainly very sensitive about that, and hopefully by my earlier description of the kind of place we want to have, and I'm anticipating it's not going to be an issue. And there's a place right across the street, for example, LeBerry Shop, and those places that are in front, and they don't seem to cause any disruptions or issues either. But certainly that is an issue that I've looked at very closely personally.
Okay. Thank you. And obviously, representatives of the church haven't had an opportunity to come here this evening. And so, all right. Any other questions from the commission? If not, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve Chippis. Last name is C's and Charles, H-I, double P's and Peter, A-S as in Sam. My address is 1807 Allen Drive in Geneva, and I'm here tonight representing Geneva Lutheran Church.
Okay.
We don't have any issues with the liquor license. Mr. Anastasio was kind enough to come and talk to our pastor beforehand, and his description here tonight does not cause us any concern about the type of establishment. I'm sure if there is an issue, we'll be able to talk to him and work that out. So our only concern here tonight is when our review of the architectural plan shows the mechanical structures being placed in the rear of the building, which happens to be directly adjacent to our sanctuary and our chapel. Now, it sounds like the restaurant will not be operating on Sundays, at least at this point, so there's no direct concern there, but we do also have a Saturday night service, and the concern is that the mechanical equipment in the back, especially during those times of year when the mechanical systems are building aren't running because we don't need heating or air conditioning, we tend to have the windows open, and we could have some disruption from the mechanical equipment operating there. So we'd just like the commission to take that into account when reviewing the project. I did see there's going to be some landscaping screening there, and we just ask that the architect and the engineers take that into account so that the noise that transfers over is minimized to the greatest extent possible. We don't see any issues with the parking. Once again, we have a Saturday night service, but we generally don't have any issues with the parking there, and I don't see that being an issue in the future either. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Any other questions from the commission? Chris, do you want to respond to the screening issue of the mechanical?
Well, it's kind of a catch-22 situation, as I've discussed it with Tim, in terms of the historical preservation. They want it in the back as opposed to on the side, so that's why we've buffered and screened it. We obviously will be using energy-efficient equipment and muffling the sound as much as possible. So, again, we'll work with everyone as we make those final selections in terms of that equipment.
Okay.
Dave, I have one other comment. I don't see anything regarding exterior. You have no plans for exterior dining for warm weather months?
No plans at this time. Our first goal is to get the restaurant up and get it running, and we've been asked that question. I don't have any plans at this time. If after the first year and people come back to us and say we'd like to have outdoor dining, we'll certainly come back to the city and discuss that and see if it's an appropriate plan to do. But right now there are no plans to have outdoor dining.
Okay.
Would they need any city permission to do that, given the size of this lot?
The ordinance wouldn't require anything specific to outdoor dining in terms of a separate requirement, as long as it's all on private property.
Yeah.
To the extent that outdoor dining would increase the occupancy, there would be some effect on parking.
Okay.
But but from the standpoint of our parking standards and what standards are applicable here, the special use standards that pertain to parking are the standards that the applicant is responsible for addressing, and the commission's responsible for making an affirmative fact finding that in terms of parking that's available, both public and private, that it's sufficient to meet the use that's intended.
Okay. I kind of agree with Jay. I hope parking does become a problem. There are a number of restaurants in that area. You've got Wildwood immediately south, and as you pointed out, Berry Bistro, and even Graham's across the street, and Little Traveler for lunch. So, and the new Mexican restaurant is blocked south along with Egg Harbor. We're getting a number of places in there that are going to demand parking, and there often I see on Friday and Saturday evening there are a lot of cars in that area. So we hope there'll be more. Anyone else? Dick.
Given the tenor of the discussion here, I thought it might be worthwhile adding in some additional comments with respect to parking. Staff has been encouraging the team to look at parking closely, and they have looked at the parking issue in some detail. I've had a presence here in town for about 10 years now, so I'm still a newcomer, but I have been around for a while and observed the parking in the downtown quite a bit. There's quite a bit of seasonal fluctuation in parking demand in the downtown. And when the downtown is pumping, June, July, August, on a weekday, parking is a pretty competitive kind of a situation in this immediate vicinity. I think we probably all observed that and seen that at different times. So I appreciate the work that was done in photographing these parking areas in March. I don't think it reflects the real high demand time when competition for the use of these spaces is pretty intense. With that said, you don't have to be a community planner to see the value of this kind of use on this site and what it means to the surrounding business community and really the whole downtown area. It's a pivotal site in terms of what it means to the character of Geneva and of Third Street. And this is really an area that needs to be nurtured, and we should be encouraging business activity and a use mix that provides complementary relationships between uses. And certainly a restaurant on this property would do some really positive things, I feel, from that perspective. The seasonal parking demand on weekdays, that's been rolling around in my mind here for the last few weeks, and staff has had some concern. The parking deck does do some great things for us on weekend parking and satisfying that demand. And the businesses in the area and certainly restaurant patrons, we would expect them to be involved in multi-purpose trips. So, we're going to have definite sharing going on. And prior to our moratorium on parking standards that we instituted in 2001, the prior standards incorporated the concept of this shared relationship between the various uses downtown and available parking. So certainly conventional parking standards shouldn't be applied to this kind of situation. I I think in addressing this issue and looking at the applicant's response to the 9 special use standards, commission is charged with the responsibility of making a fact finding with respect to those 9 standards and passing that fact finding on to the city council for consideration. And I'm still at a point where I find the applicant's responses a little lean in terms of addressing these points substantively because of some of the seasonal fluctuations in parking that we experience in the downtown. Now, I can say that from the standpoint of what I observe and what I see happening, not only in March, but in June, July, and August, maybe at Christmas when there's a lot going on downtown, what I see during the weekdays are situations where parking around Dotson Place is pretty intensively used. Parking up and down 3rd Street is pretty intensively used. The cross streets, really, South, Fulton, Franklin, even Campbell, during those peak times of the year, those spaces also, you know, are pretty intensively used. But as you get away from 3rd Street, you go west of 4th, and you go east of 2nd, and then along 2nd, those are the areas where public parking during the weekdays tends to be more available than those areas that are clustered right at the intersections along 3rd Street. So if the commission is inclined to support this application, I think it's important that as a part of your fact-finding, and I'm assuming that you would utilize the Lanark Group's narrative as a basis for that fact-finding, that with respect to point 3, I would certainly identify the fact that on weekends, the public parking deck and surface parking lots do in fact address in a very big way the supply-demand situation on weekends, and we have available parking on weekends. There's no question about it. On weekdays, I think it is important that as a part of your fact-finding that you recognize and state that those portions of the downtown east of 2nd Street, west of 4th Street, and specifically along 2nd Street, because that parking has been freed up by the commuter parkers that couldn't fit in the lots, and then they would just park along by the church there. That area has been freed up. That parking is seldom used. Together with the comments about some of the other areas that I think come into play, the public parking lot, what's marked as B on Mr. Lannert's exhibit, you know, there are times when there are some spaces available there as well. So I certainly support the restaurant use. I think it's a great use for the property, but I'd be remiss in not advising the commission to, if you're making an affirmative fact-finding, that you recognize some of these other parking areas as a part of your fact-finding.
Okay.
David, have you got any? David's, I know, been leading the charge here on the staff level with this project, but he may have something to add.
No, I think that was perfectly stated. I mean, summed up staff's position very well.
Okay.
I would presume that the bulk of your traffic would be in the evening. Do you anticipate that rather than at lunch, which will, and obviously there is more parking available in the evening along 3rd Street.
Absolutely.
And another lot that came to mind is the lot behind the paper merchant, which mostly services, I think, the Little Traveler, but that is a public parking lot, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Jay.
Mr. Chairman, to address Director Unser, Bunch's concerns. If we were to add a sentence in the petitioner's fact-finding on number three, after the traffic patterns within the Geneva downtown area have been historically established, and this isn't what I want to add. Unfortunately, you know, we can't hold off a year for him to historically establish. And again, your point is very valid and well taken. Do you want us to add a sentence that says, you know, after historically established, especially west of 4th Street and 2nd Street eastward, moving north from Fulton, a lesser demand appears to exist? Would that satisfy you if we were to add a sentence such as that within that area?
Well, you have to satisfy the rest of your commissioners because you're all making a fact-finding, but in terms of, you're going hairheading in the right direction.
Okay, so is because, again, we want to strengthen the petitioner's fact-finding as part of this, as part of the public forum. And that's what I'm asking, is that an addition that you would think would provide
a little bit
more of what you are looking for based on your comments?
I think so.
Anyone else? If not, well,
move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Commissioner, I'd like to ask that we waive the standard two-week bifurcated process and vote on the issue tonight.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Who's going to do it?
He's bailing to me.
Okay.
He's got all those sentences there.
We got to dig through everything.
Do you want us to add anything about the cross agreement between the?
That was Jay's idea. I'm sure he'll include that.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, then I guess I better add that. Move to approve a request for a special use permit in the B3 Business District to allow a restaurant to operate on the first floor of a building located at 317 South 3rd Street. Included in the motion will be accepting the petitioner's finding of facts, adding a sentence in finding of fact number three that addresses that would be inserted after historically established to say especially west of 4th Street and 2nd Street eastwards moving north of Fulton, historical demand has been shown to be less in those areas. And then...
Demand for parking.
Less demand for parking. Thank you. I appreciate the help. And then under staff's recommendations... we would add, have we addressed all the three staff recommendations now?
The first two are just conditioning the special use to the building elevations and the landscaping plan. The last one can be dropped because you have...
Okay, so we'll include the first two. We'll add a third, asking for a recorded cross-access agreement between the property owner at 215 Fulton and the property owner at 317 South 3rd Street.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Celeste, will you call the roll, please?
Access to property owner at 215 South Fulton and...
Well, 215, it would be West Fulton.
West.
And 317 South 3rd.
I'm sorry, who's second?
Gantino.
Okay, Dantino?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Moffitt?
Aye.
Stevenson?
Aye.
Stocking?
Aye.
Rogers?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion is carried. Good luck.
That will also go forward on April 27th before the committee of the whole.
All right. David, anything else we need to know?
Other items of business. Kind of give you an update on what staff's been working on and what's coming up in the next few months. It does not look like we're going to have a Plan Commission meeting next month in May. I can't find my notes. I have it here.
David, I have a question.
Sure.
Did the Excel gymnastics deal, did that go away?
We've been told it has gone away. The amendment was accidentally left off the agenda for City Council's approval last week, so they're having a special meeting this coming Monday to consider the text amendment, but we understand that the deal is no longer going through with Excel Gymnastics.
We should charge by the hour for these kind of things.
Yeah. Thank you. That was item number one in my notes. We have a couple projects, the Stonehaven subdivision off of Western Avenue by the former greenhouse property. That's still on hold, but I spoke with the applicant this week, and he said that there is still a possibility that he may purchase the property and move forward with the request. So we could see that coming up in the next few months. It was contracted, which expired, and now they're renegotiating.
Taking down all the greenhouses down.
Right, that demolition started last week.
That's a good thing.
Along the lines of enforcement, we've also drafted a letter for the enclave's property to have the site graded, sodded, and have the various structures and the storage box removed from the property. And if it hasn't been sent out, it'll be sent out in the next few days here.
What is with that storage box on the road? What is that all about?
Well, we haven't figured it out, but it's going to go.
Looks like,
that's all we know.
It looks like free advertising.
And I just learned something late this afternoon. David and I didn't have a chance to chat on this, but what we're going to try and do, I've spoken with the city engineer on it. He's been out this week at the site, just looking at conditions there, and there are concerns about the level of erosion that's occurring. Everything is contained within the silt fence area, but it's starting to create some issues with some of the utilities that are lit. The erosion is actually reaching a point that now pipes are exposed to the surface that have been installed on the property.
Thank you.
So we're going to be convening a meeting out at the site with ownership and the developer to size up what's going there and what's going on there, and we do need the site stabilized. So we will be pursuing that. We do have, code provisions regarding this kind of thing, and something needs to be done there. So we'll have to work out the details with ownership and the developer.
Do you anticipate a problem with that?
I don't know. We'll see. It can all be taken care of with money.
Are they still committed to move ahead, or are they just...
They're in a hold mode.
Okay.
Like just about everything else that we've seen.
Dick, speaking of in hold mode, can somebody make a note that if they ever get out of a hold mode, it would be appropriate to revisit the negotiated land cash agreement to maybe escalate the land cash agreement at that point in time, as opposed to automatically continue to extend? Because I believe originally they were given 2 years to start or 18 months to start, then the City Council gave them an extension, and they already have a set dollar amount per unit, but as time moves on, that set dollar amount may be significantly eroded by inflation, and I would ask that it be considered at staff level to remember that when they do come forward and want to do something 8 or 10 years from now, that we have a new opening crack at the land cash, so we didn't lose inflationary erosion, so to speak, to the schools and the park.
Well, that's a good point, and that's one of the reasons why we have development schedules worked into our plan unit developments that we approve, so that you don't run into a problem with just the passage of time and no activity, and then the developer says 10 years later, okay, I'm ready to go, and once you utilize all of the old rules and old provisions. So it's been a while since we've got a very thick PUD document, and we'll have to dig into that if they ever reactivate the project. Just overall, we'll have to dig back into the documents to see where we are. They certainly have entitlements that are in place, but I expect that we'll be at the table talking to them in the future, I'm sure.
I know when they asked for an extension, they were granted an extension which included the land cash contributions, which was in a far better economy, which kind of scared me. And all I'm concerned about is, you know, the schools and the parks.
One thing that I will say is that you know, we are in the annexation agreement and as part of the plan unit development. The contributions far exceed the land cash ordinance.
It was a negotiated deal between the school district and the park district and the developers. So, you know, let's put it this way, several years ago it was a good deal. So I don't know if it's... Was the SSA ever agreed to, ever finalized and agreed to?
The special service area, real close. Without getting into all the details, the two developers, the two development entities, reached agreement on a document that city attorney and city staff never saw. So what happened was that they executed that document, brought it to us and said, we finally got our agreement, you know, we're all set, we're signed off, we're mutually agreed upon here in terms of the cost sharing on the SSA project. And then when we got into the document on the staff and attorney level, there were provisions in the agreement that the city did not agree with, but we weren't a party to the agreement. So that's an area that will require some revisiting at some point.
But in the meantime, the city's put money out on this. I mean, there's cost involved in this, correct?
We have obligated ourselves. We've spent a lot on attorney's fees, but no, we have not put money on the line yet.
Oh, okay. It's to their advantage not to sign anything. So.
Well, you know, I think they both, in a situation where the market is ripe for something to happen there, an actual development occurs, and they've got buyers of land,
then they're interested.
Yeah. It's just that right now it would appear that both parties are interested in doing anything. So it's just been literally just sitting right now for a number of months.
Anything else, David?
We have a property on Gary Lane that was in for site plan review for building and parking additions. We've recently received, I believe, the fourth round of plans that we're going to be reviewing and meeting with the applicant on, so that might be coming down in the next month or two.
Which building is that?
The name escapes me.
This is the former township.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I think Martin or Eagle Concrete.
There
I think
go.
The Martins bought it.
Eagle, yes. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Hillquist move out there?
For a while.
Did,
yeah.
And sold it to Martins.
They sold it to Martins, okay.
Then there's a annexation and zoning request on Couts Road for 6 acres right across from the entrance for the Prairie Green. Prairie Landing golf course there. That hopefully should be coming through in the next couple of months.
Is that the Rochelle or whatever?
Yeah,
that's the
Rocap
property, yes. That would be just off of the Ingredient Mall. We're expecting to get that application in next week.
But the Ingredient Mall is dead, isn't it?
It's on hold, yes.
It's on hold.
Okay.
And then some of the things staff has been working on, we've been working on amendments to our sign code regulations, which are currently located in our building code portion of the city code, and we're tossing around the idea of relocating that to the zoning ordinance. And if we all agree on that and that is the case, that would come through to the Planning Commission for consideration. So that might be something we see this summer as well. Some other things we've noted at the last couple of meetings, 700 East State Street has been making some improvements. Staff met with the owner, and he has hired an engineer and architect now to get into the details of improving the parking area and landscaping for the site. Right now,
what building is that?
The Sealed Rip House.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the corner of Sandholm and State. So right now the big question is access onto 38, because right now there's two access points, and they've submitted their concept plans to IDOT, and we're waiting to hear back from them before that moves forward.
They want to put another restaurant there?
They do, but he's purchased the property next door, the Me and Dad Toys property, and they would be combining those two lots and putting in a new parking area with landscaping on the south side and the east side. So it would be a significant improvement for the property if this project does come through. We've seen the conceptual plans, working closely with the applicant. Yeah. And I think that's it as far as projects that would be coming through in the next few months. You have anything you want to add, Dick?
I have one more thing just to update you a little bit. As you probably all know, we were geared up in a big way about 4 or 5 months ago to start a downtown master planning process, and just because of our budget conditions, we had to put a hold on that project, and we were looking at utilizing our special project capital funds, internal funds to do that project. So that we are at a point where we have we've gone through a planning consultant solicitation, bid the project out. We had 16 consulting teams submit proposals. We went through all of this stuff, selected one, and we were in negotiations on a contract, and we pulled the pin. A steering committee for the project has been appointed by the mayor, and they're just kind of waiting in the wings right now. But I wanted to let the Plan Commission know that we have been scrounging around looking for grant money to do this project. And I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing and seeing so far. Metra has a planning program, grant program, that's geared towards transit issues in downtown areas near their train stations. And their website's really interesting on this, because they've got these plans that they've produced over a number of years that are just posted on the website. And I'm reading through some of these plans, and they read like the scope of work that we've identified for our downtown plan. So they just put out a call for projects yesterday. And middle of June, applications are due for this projects that would be going for a Metro grant. And so we're going to submit and see where this goes. And some of the communities that have had their projects funded, these have been $100,000 projects. They're an 80-20 match, with 20 being the local, but this is real money for us. And it's a long process, because you don't find out until December 09 if we're selected, and then the money isn't released until spring of 2010. But we could literally look at doing this not the next fiscal year, but the following fiscal year, getting started on it. So I'm encouraged by that, and hopefully we can be successful in this effort and get this going. The staff at Metro have been encouraging in the discussions we've had so far, so we'll see how that goes.
What's your approximate cost to that?
Well, we were hacking away at it, because the strategic plan, there's probably about 15 different objectives in the strategic plan that relate to a downtown master plan. And we
had, we were looking at numbers that were more like around 80, and I was trying to, 80,000, working with this consultant that was selected through our solicitation process. If we were able to get $100,000 out of this program, we could do a very nice project here. You know, so we'll see where it goes. Metro does, they've got their hands pretty tightly around the process, the selection process. They don't really dictate, but they need to see that we are going through a methodical process in terms of defining the scope of work, the consultant selection process. It sounds like we would have to, if we went this way, we would have to resolicit, you know, get out a new RFP or RFQ and do that part of it over. But I don't care if we can get the money to do it.
Be great.
So I just wanted to update you.
Do we have to necessarily do that on the same scale that we did the first time?
You don't want to do it again, Dave?
Sure. I wouldn't be my favorite thing to do, but I mean, you know, it's...
We'll have to go through, it sounds like we'll have to go through the process again. Maybe we can redesign it, make it a little less involved, but it sounds like they will literally sit in the corner.
Oh, really?
And observe.
Oh, okay.
So they want hands-on, basically. They want to know their money's being spent.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, is it Metro money, or are they getting it from there?
This is, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's funneled. I think this is coming out of Metro coffers. And they've made a very strong commitment because they want mixed-use development, to some extent, more intensive residential development around their train stations. You know, that supports ridership, that whole thing, the whole logic of transit-oriented development, and the idea of innovative approaches to connecting the commuter stations to the surrounding community. They're looking at that, you know, paratransit. There are a number of different plans. So we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Good.
Off the subject, what's happened to the theme of the restaurant? It was spin off 302.
You talking about Isabella's?
No.
Niche.
Has anything happened there? As soon as you drove by, it sounded like the place was closed.
Well, I had heard something just this past week that someone thought that has resort is in the process of or has.
I had heard a rumor a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything confirmed, but I did hear something to that effect.
Yeah, I hope not. We don't need another empty restaurant building.
Yeah.
But, on the subject of parking, though, we're concerned about parking in 3rd Street area. Parking in the Commons, especially in that area around the restaurant,
terrible.
Continues to be a nightmare.
It's always been bad.
Yes.
And if the concentration of restaurants.
And if they open where the Red Star Tavern was again, it's going to be impossible.
Forget it, right.
Yeah, and people do tend to loop around those couple of drives on either side there, and there's usually plenty of parking on the west side of that drive, but they don't want to walk that extra 200 feet.
Yeah. Well, but not always. It's sometimes a long way away.
Yeah, well, that's right. Oh, yeah. Well,
it's called a different restaurant.
I mean, I remember
it's called a different restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, yours truly was leading charge on that whole thing, and I know that we took the perspective of keeping the parking lead overall on the numbers.
I don't think the ratio is the problem. It's the positioning of the
problem. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
The way it should have been done was it should have been pushed back and another row put in the front. That would have solved.
Yeah, there's this proximity issue that between Wet Nose and CPK, that's kind of a chaotic area in there too.
Just an aside.
Yep, I hear you.
Anything else?
Move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Now, I have a comment to make since we're adjourned now and she's not taking notes anymore. How come nobody raised the point that there's two, possibly three, closed Italian restaurants in town right now?
I don't know why they were going Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.